Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Renaissance English History Podcast, the original Tudor podcast, telling stories of Tudor England since 2009 and a part of the Agora Podcast Network. I am your host, Heather Tesco. I'm a storyteller who makes history accessible because I believe it's a pathway to understanding who we are, our place in the universe, and being much more deeply connected with our own humanity. So this is episode, I think, 233. We are going to talk about two mother figures that Elizabeth I had, Cat Ashley and Blanche Perry. These two women who supported Elizabeth when she was young, who knew Elizabeth since she was young, and who kind of kept her grounded, and who were her maternal figures when she needed them. Just a quick welcome also to the newest patrons of this podcast, Sarah and Janet. Welcome, welcome. And to the newest member on the YouTube channel, Rebecca. You can support this podcast either on Patreon or by joining the YouTube channel, depending on where you're listening to this or whatever is easiest for you. And members and patrons get extra episodes. This week's is on the Revolt of the Northern Earls of 1569. They get mini courses depending on what level they're at. We just did Henry VIII, the Golden Prince, and I'm working on this month's now. Discounts to my merch shop, tudorfair.com. There is a super cool new design up. I just got my t-shirt and water bottle with the design. I'm super excited for them to come. It says, "In my Tudor era," and it's a beautiful design. So that is up at my merch shop. So you get discounts there depending on what level you're at, all kinds of cool stuff. So you can join on Patreon by going to patreon.com/englandcast, or you can join on YouTube by clicking join this channel, the join this channel button. So thank you to my newest patrons and members, and thank you to those of you who sign up. All right, let us get into it, my friends. So Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen, her inner circle not only influenced the course of British history, but also profoundly shaped her personal and political identity. The reign of Elizabeth I, often celebrated as a golden age of everything, was marked by significant cultural flourishing, maritime adventurism, and the stabilization of Protestantism. Yet behind all of this grandeur of court life and the portraits of the Queen and everything like that, there existed a network of trusted confidants, primarily women, who played crucial roles both in the corridors of power and in the intimate quarters of Elizabeth's daily life. Among these influential figures were Cat Ashley and Blanche Perry, two women whose guidance and maternal affection helped fill the void left by Elizabeth's own mother, Anne Boleyn, who of course was executed when Elizabeth was only 2.5 years old. Cat Ashley served first as Elizabeth's governess and later as her chief gentlewoman, and Blanche Perry, a steadfast presence from her childhood, later chief gentlewoman of the Privy Chamber, they were more than just servants, they were pivotal anchors in Elizabeth's tumultuous life. Blanche Perry's life began in the bucolic setting of the Welsh Marches, an area steeped in the martial and cultural history of the border between England and Wales. Born around 1508 in Herefordshire, within a family deeply rooted in Welsh gentry and connected to the Herbert family, Blanche was poised from the start to bridge two cultures. The Welsh influence was strong in her upbringing, as evidenced by her bilingual ability in both Welsh and English, which she likely passed on to the young Elizabeth. Historical accounts suggest that Elizabeth was lulled to sleep by Welsh lullabies, a tender detail that illustrates the cultural and personal bonds formed during her infancy. Blanche's education was by Augustinian nuns, and her family's noble connections, particularly through her aunt Blanche Herbert, Lady Troy, who was also involved in the Tudor court, and that set the stage for her lifelong service to Elizabeth. From these familial ties and her robust upbringing, Blanche brought a unique Welsh perspective to the English court, subtly influencing Elizabeth with the rich heritage of her homeland. Blanche Perry ascended to significant roles within the royal household, becoming an indispensable figure in Elizabeth's life. Her official titles, Keeper of the Queen's Jewels and later the Chief Gentlewoman of the Privy Chamber, barely scratched the surface of her influence. In practice, Blanche was a gatekeeper to the Queen, managing Elizabeth's personal affairs from her correspondence to the meticulous care of her wardrobe. Her responsibilities were vast, spanning the intimate tasks of helping Elizabeth dress to the more strategic role of mediating the presentations of parliamentary bills to the Queen. Perhaps the most poignant symbol of her closeness to Elizabeth was the fact that for many years, Blanche slept at the foot of Elizabeth's bed. This arrangement was not merely a matter of protocol, but a testament to the deep trust and affection that Elizabeth held for Blanche. In the confinements of royal chambers, away from the public eye, Blanche was both a protector and a confidant, her presence a steady reassurance to a queen who could trust few. Blanche's role extended beyond the administrative. She was often involved in the subtle interplay of court politics, working closely with figures like William Cecil, and influencing court decisions with her seasoned understanding of royal dynamics. Her life was deeply interwoven with Elizabeth and showcases the profound impact that these women, often overlooked in the broader narratives of history, had on one of England's most famous monarchs. Blanche's political acumen was an essential but often understated component of her role at court. Like I said, she was close with key figures such as William Cecil, the Queen's principal advisor, and this was a strategic relationship. Blanche and Cecil shared a common goal, the welfare and success of the reign of Elizabeth I. Their alliance facilitated the smooth handling of delicate matters at court, with Blanche often acting as an intermediary between the Queen and her counselors. This role was particularly crucial given the gender dynamics of the time, which often excluded women from overt political power. Blanche's influence extended to parliamentary affairs, where she played a role in the presentation and sometimes the crafting of parliamentary bills before they reached the Queen. This position was pivotal, placing her at the heart of Elizabethan politics, where she could sway decisions or provide the Queen with insightful advice on matters before they were publicly discussed. Her nuanced understanding of court politics enabled her to navigate through turbulent times, ensuring that the Queen's decisions were well-informed and judicious. Blanche Perry's influence survives in both tangible and intangible forms. So the Bacton altar cloth is a whole separate story, but it's really interesting. It was actually thought to be embroidery that Blanche Perry herself had done. And then Charles Brothers, the rector of Bacton Church, arranged to frame and display the altar cloth in 1909. But then he had actually suggested that maybe it came from a dress belonging to Elizabeth I. People were kind of going back and forth for like almost a century, discussing whether or not this altar cloth was actually Elizabeth's dress or not. Now we know that the cloth has been identified as late 16th century origin. There's no documentary evidence that links it to Queen Elizabeth, but the curators now believe that it's extremely likely to have once belonged to the queen. And it's now known also that the cloth, which is extremely expensive fabric, was embroidered with these beautiful motifs made into a dress worn by the queen. Then the dress was dismantled. The cloth was embroidered with a second set of motifs, cut and sewn into the altar cloth, and sent to Bacton Church in memory of Blanche Perry. So it wasn't actually owned by Blanche, but it was sent to the Bacton Church because of Blanche, possibly even by the queen. So this discovery highlights Blanche's lasting impact, illustrating how elements of the queen's wardrobe were preserved as cherished items in Blanche's home parish, symbolizing her deep connection to both her Welsh roots and her royal mistress. Blanche's memorials further cement her status within historical memory. Her elaborate tomb in St. Margaret's Church in Westminster features inscriptions and effigies that commemorate her 57 years of service to Elizabeth. These memorials not only mark her rank and influence, but also celebrate her as a benefactor to her communities in both Herefordshire and Westminster. Through generous bequests and charitable acts recorded in her will, Blanche ensured that her legacy would also reflect her dedication to philanthropy, a virtue that she held throughout her life. Blanche Perry's life and work left an indelible mark on the Elizabethan court and on the Queen herself. Through her political savvy and her personal devotion, Blanche not only shaped the policies and character of Elizabeth's reign, but also set a precedent for the role that women could play in the governance and cultural patronage of early modern England. Now we're going to talk about the other woman who played a major role in Elizabeth's life, and that is Cat Ashley. Born Catherine Champernowne around 1502, she emerged from a background shrouded in mystery and likely modest nobility. The details of her early life remain sparse, but it is believed that she came from the influential Champernowne family, a detail that underscores her entry into noble service despite the obscurity of her immediate lineage. Her introduction to the Tudor court, and specifically into Elizabeth's life as a governess, was no less influenced by her familial connections, possibly facilitated by her relative, Sir John Champernowne. In 1536, Cat entered the household of the young Elizabeth, then a princess just declared illegitimate after the fall of her mother, Anne Boleyn. Cat's role as governess was pivotal, not only for its educational aspects, but also as a stabilizing influence in the tumultuous early years of Elizabeth's life. This position placed Cat in the intimate proximity to the princess, fostering a bond that would endure the political and personal upheavals of the coming decades. Cat's educational influence on Elizabeth was profound and far-reaching. Recognizing the intellectual potential of the young princess, Cat provided a rigorous curriculum that included mathematics, astronomy, history, and several languages, including French, Italian, Flemish, and Spanish. This comprehensive education was designed not just to refine Elizabeth's mind, but also to prepare her for the complexities of future leadership, possibly a European marriage alliance, which seemed more likely than her ascension to the throne at the time. Under Cat's guidance, Elizabeth developed into a polymath, equipped with the intellectual tools necessary for governance. This education went beyond academics. It included the intricate etiquette of the royal court and the nuanced art of diplomacy. Cat's teachings also instilled in Elizabeth a resilience and a strategic mindset, attributes that would define her reign. Cat's role also transcended that of a traditional governess. She became Elizabeth's confidant and advisor, shaping the princess's perspectives on religion and politics, areas in which Elizabeth would later make indelible impacts. The foundation laid by Cat was crucial not only for Elizabeth's survival during her sister Mary's reign, but also for her eventual rise as one of England's most celebrated monarchs. But her tenure as Elizabeth's governess was fraught with political danger, particularly during the reigns of Henry VIII and Mary I. The most notorious scandal in which she was embroiled actually involved Thomas Seymour, the ambitious and charismatic brother of Jane Seymour and uncle to Edward VI. Following the death of Henry VIII, Seymour married the widowed Catherine Parr, moved to live with her, bringing Elizabeth and her household, including Kat, into their home. Kat initially found Seymour's flirtatious behavior towards the young Elizabeth amusing, but her amusement turned to concern as his actions grew more inappropriate, she thought, culminating, of course, in the very famous incident where he entered Elizabeth's bedroom in his nightshirt, trying to tickle her when she was in bed. Kat's protective instincts surged. She confronted both Seymour and Parr about the inappropriate interactions. Her protective actions highlight her role not just as a governess, but also as a guardian of Elizabeth's safety and reputation, a role that she took seriously amid the turbulent and often dangerous politics of the Tudor court. Her fears were not unfounded. The scandal escalated, rumors swirled about Seymour's intentions toward Elizabeth, endangering both their positions. Eventually, Seymour's overreaching ambition led to his arrest and execution for treason. Kat herself was arrested and imprisoned in the Tower of London, accused of knowing of and possibly abetting Seymour's schemes. Her staunch defense during the interrogation and unwavering loyalty to Elizabeth during this ordeal underscored her dedication to the princess's welfare. Seymour, of course, was executed, and then when Elizabeth ascended to the throne in 1558, Kat Ashley was appointed as the First Lady of the Bedchamber, the highest position a woman could hold in the royal household. This role placed her at the center of court life and allowed her to continue her close personal and advisory relationship with the Queen. Kat's influence extended beyond the personal. She was involved in the web of Elizabethan politics, advising the Queen on matters of state and court diplomacy. Her presence provided Elizabeth with a constant source of support and stability, invaluable in the early years of her reign. Now, you might wonder, what was her personal life like? Was she able to have any kind of personal life with this? She did marry. She married John Ashley, who was a cousin of Anne Boleyn, Elizabeth I's mother, of course. John Ashley was also part of the royal household. He served as a senior gentleman attendant to Princess Elizabeth. They got married around 1545, so actually when Henry VIII was still alive. And despite their significant roles within the royal circle, there's actually little detailed information about their personal life together. But it is clear that their marriage aligned them closely with Elizabeth, and they were able to support her and be together both before and after she became queen. In 1565, Kat died, and the effect on Elizabeth was profound. She was only about 63 at the time. She spent nearly three decades in close association with Elizabeth. Her death marked the end of an era for Elizabeth, who was visibly shaken by the loss of her most trusted confidant and maternal figure. Elizabeth's visitation to Kat on her deathbed, her mourning, and her continued remembrance of Kat's counsel and care in the ensuing years underscore the deep emotional bond between them. So the absence of Elizabeth's mother, Anne, who was executed, of course, when Elizabeth was just a toddler, left a void that was profoundly filled by Kat and Blanche Parry. Both women stepped into a quasi-maternal role, providing not only the care and affection that Elizabeth lacked, but also shaping her into a woman capable of ruling England. Their influence can be seen as foundational in the development of Elizabeth's character and her approach to sovereignty. Kat, having been appointed as Elizabeth's governess, took on a nurturing role from an early age, instilling in Elizabeth a robust education and moral compass that would guide her throughout her life. Her teachings extended beyond academic knowledge to include lessons in prudence and discretion, qualities essential for survival in the Tudor court. Blanche Parry, starting as a caretaker in Elizabeth's nursery, later becoming her chief gentlewoman, offered continuous presence and stability, nurturing Elizabeth through her most formative years and beyond. Their maternal care helped fill the emotional gaps left by Elizabeth's familial losses, providing her with a sense of security and belonging. This emotional support was crucial in a world where familial alliances were often sacrificed for political gain. The personal beliefs and backgrounds of Kat and Blanche subtly permeated the policies and cultural initiatives of Elizabeth's reign. Kat's fervent Protestant faith and her experience during the religious upheavals of Mary's reign likely influenced Elizabeth's commitment to establishing a Protestant England, balancing religious extremes that had rocked the country. Blanche's Welsh heritage and her bicultural upbringing might have contributed to Elizabeth's inclusive approach to her multi-ethnic kingdom, promoting a sense of unity and national identity that was pivotal during her reign. The depth of Elizabeth's relationship with Kat and Blanche is best illustrated through personal anecdotes and their own words. Elizabeth famously referred to Kat as more than a mother and frequently sought her counsel on matters both personal and political. One poignant anecdote recounts how Elizabeth, when she was severely ill, insisted on being attended by Kat, trusting no one else to care for her. Blanche Perry's epitaph, composed by herself before her death, beautifully encapsulates her lifelong dedication. It says, "With maiden queen, a maiden did end my life, a testament to their shared lifelong chastity and devotion." Additionally, a reported interaction during Elizabeth's imprisonment in the Tower illustrates Blanche's maternal fervor. She was one of the few who remained steadfastly by Elizabeth's side, providing comfort and counsel during those dark days. The legacies of Kat Ashley and Blanche Perry as mother figures are intricately woven into the fabric of Elizabeth's reign. Their influences helped shape not only the personal attributes of the Queen, but also the broader policies and cultural developments of the Tudor period. Their stories enrich our understanding of the vital roles women played in the governance and cultural life of one of history's most famous monarchs, demonstrating that behind the power and the politics, the personal relationships forged between these women and Elizabeth were of monumental importance. So we will end it there for right now. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, again, you can support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/englandcast, or just by joining this channel on YouTube if you are listening on YouTube. Thank you so much for your listenership and for your support. I hope you are having a most fabulous weekend, day, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. And I will be back again very soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Blow, northern wind, a sandal may be sweating. Blow, northern wind, blow, blow, blow. Ich hörte Bord in Bauerbrick, dat soll ich sämlich und sich, wenn's cool meiden auf mich werden. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.